Well, thank you so much for worshiping with us on Christmas Eve at the Fountain United Methodist Church. I didn't say this a minute ago, but this is our very first Christmas Eve service ever. I guess that was assumed since we're only 9 months old as a church. But this is a really special day, and we're so glad to have the kids in here. What an amazing way to tell the Christmas story. Let's give them a hand again. I can just sit down because you already heard the message and like what happened on Christmas. They tell it with way more excitement and way more creativity, let's say, than I could ever tell it, and definitely way cuter. But one of the things I was thinking of when we were watching that video is just how accessible children come to the Lord. How they come to the gospel with no barriers up, no walls up. It's just so much joy, and they love talking about it. And whether they know the names of the gifts or not, it's all about Jesus' birthday. In fact, in our kids' ministry yesterday, we had worship yesterday as well, they were making cakes and doing things to celebrate Jesus' birthday. And that's just a small snapshot of some of the things that they do all the time here at the Fountain. So I want to thank Mandy for helping put that gift together, or the video together, my wife and Mike and everybody who works with the kids ministry. It's an awesome, awesome thing. So, but one of the things that we've been talking about over the last four Sundays is this series called Immeasurable. And the idea of the series comes from Paul when he says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, "Now to him," speaking of Jesus, "who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." And so we've been talking about the Christmas story through this lens. And it's not specifically a Christmas passage, but we've been using this because I think it hits the nail on the head at the heart of what Christmas is really about. So we've been talking about the different things that God offers us. But the thing that we've been talking about more than anything is the big snapshots, the big ideas that God doesn't want us to miss in the Christmas story. Things like God is with us. Things like God can work through us. And today we're going to focus on a different one. We all know, one of the things that I know is that God, what God did back then, what God did all throughout the scripture, God can do it again. I've seen that happen in even planting this church in this area that started with two, and here we are today. God can move, God can work in powerful ways, and God can still do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine in your life today. And so more than anything else, the thing that I want you to know, if you leave here today, whatever state you came in, what I want you to know as you leave, before you leave, is that that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power is available, the same love that came down for Christmas wasn't just for them, but it's also for you, that Jesus came for you. And I know that God doesn't do anything by accident, that you're here for a reason. And so I want to thank you for being obedient to your family, friends, and just being here. I know that God has a word that God wants to share with you this morning. So if you'll take your Bibles out, if you have them, Luke chapter 2, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 20. If you don't have a Bible with you, no worries. The words are going to be on the screen. But we offer free Bibles also every Sunday out in our coffee area. Well, and every Christmas Eve, I guess now. And so if you don't have a Bible, we really want you to pick one up as you leave. Write your name in it. Let that be our gift to you with the power of the Holy Spirit. As you read that, we know that God will transform lives. So let's open to Luke chapter 2 and read the probably the most famous Christmas text in all the Bible. And as you're doing that, would you stand in honor and reverence of the reading of God's word this morning? It says this: "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the angels said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. You can have a seat. Amen. Well, did you recognize the stop signs that were there in the first Christmas story? There were a lot of stop signs. There were a lot of roadblocks, a lot of things that God had to overcome and really to bust through in order to bring salvation and hope into the world and really to us. And that's the Christmas story. If you remember, as the kids told it, even more exciting, even more creatively than what we actually read. But Jesus' parents, Joseph and Mary, they traveled at least 70 miles from Nazareth all the way to Bethlehem. And if you were to Google Maps that today, the 70 miles is kind of as the crow flies, 70 miles. If you were to actually drive that today from Nazareth to Bethlehem, it would be about 96, 97 miles plus, depending on the way you go. If you're directionally challenged and you get turned around, it could be more. So it's a long, long way to go. And they were either walking on foot or maybe on a donkey as well. It doesn't say specifically, but we assume that it's probably one of those because it was the cheapest mode of transportation using a donkey. And so they were going to Bethlehem because the entire Roman world had been issued a decree had been issued that everyone had to be taxed and a census was being taken, and everyone was required by law to show up in the town where their family was from and to be registered. And so it wasn't like today where you can do a census on the internet, or it wasn't like something where they come to you and ask you all the questions. You actually had to travel no matter what the situation was, no matter what your circumstances were. And so because David was from the house of, Joseph was from the house of David. Y'all got to help me out a little bit. Keep me on track here. Because Joseph was from the house of David, they had to go to Bethlehem to register. And so they took their trip to, one of the things that's really, really cool about this, though, first of all, before I get going a little bit more, is in the Old Testament, there's a really amazing prophecy that God is fulfilling here. And God is using a Roman governor, a Roman census to fulfill the prophecies of God. People that didn't even follow God, using people like that to follow or to fulfill the prophecies. And two of the prophecies were this: that this Messiah that was going to come into the world, that was coming on Christmas, was going to be from the house and the lineage of David. Bam, there you go. And the second thing is, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And so here in this silent night of Bethlehem, God is using these means to be able to fulfill the prophecies. And so it didn't matter the circumstances. Everyone had to go there. And so Mary is 9 months pregnant. I know we've got a lot of babies at the fountain. And I've seen firsthand, we've got a four-month-old, what that's like. As you're closing into the 8-9-month range, it's kind of like, get this kid out of me and all, so it's one of these things where very uncomfortable. And so I can just imagine as Mary has to travel 70 plus miles, 9 months pregnant, that it was not a happy scene. You can just imagine what that was like. And you can probably imagine the earful that Joseph was probably getting on the way to Bethlehem. And this is the Christmas story. And so you one of the things that, of all times, of all the times that Jesus could have come, of all the times that this thing was going to happen, she was going to give birth to the Savior of the world, it was going to be on that trip. That trip that they had to take forever on. And so if you've ever wondered if God can work in any mess in your life, all you have to do is look at the Christmas story. Because the Christmas story is where God stood in the middle of a mess and made something beautiful out of it for the glory of God. And I want you to know that that's one of the big ideas that God wants us to know, too. That whatever mess we might find ourselves in, whatever mess other people might say that we're in, that God stands in the middle of our mess and can make something beautiful out of us for the glory of God. So everything was going wrong in this Christmas story when God was trying to turn everything right in the world by bringing Jesus. And when Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem, the town was packed, as the children talked about. It was packed, and there was no guest room available anywhere in the entire place. And so Mary and Joseph had to stay in a stable. And when Jesus was born, they had to put him in a feeding trough that was used for the animals to eat from. Not exactly the entrance that you would expect for the Savior of the world, the Messiah that everyone had been waiting for. And this is what Jesus encountered. Instead of this welcome, he experienced roadblocks, closed doors, no room, barriers, stop signs, everything trying to push him away. You know, one of the things that I've realized lately is when you see a sign now that says free, when somebody's holding a sign on the side of the road that says free, I mean, what are some things that come to mind immediately? Now, maybe in a church it's a little bit different, but if somebody's holding this on the side of the road and maybe twisting around and flipping it around, my first inclination is to say, there's something going on there, and I think I'll go the other way. We experienced this a little bit. The last two weekends, the Fountain offered free gift wrapping for this community. We were offering to wrap gifts for anybody who wanted to come. We were getting wrapping paper, and we were armed and dangerous with tape and all that stuff. And we were spinning our signs and trying to get people just to have a great time at this free event. But one of the things that happened was people would kind of drive by real suspiciously. Like, they say it's free, but what's the catch? What's the deal? And so then you see them drive right back again. And, you know, the same car kind of like circled a few times trying to snoop it out before they would actually pull into the parking lot. Some would never do that. Some, they didn't need wrapping to be done. But others said, I don't know if I want to be a part of that. And so one of the things that happened, one of the main questions that we kept getting was, how much does the free gift wrapping cost? How much does the free gift wrapping cost? Well, you know, it's amazing that today free doesn't mean free in so many places. And I don't blame people, because I experience this all the time where people want to sell me with something. People say, deal of the century, 70% off, free this. And you know, there's a catch here. It's not really free. In fact, even in economics, as early as I can remember in high school, when I learned economics, they said there's no such thing as a free lunch. Free doesn't always mean free. In fact, oftentimes we get hooked by some marketing scam that tries to drag us in, and we find out that it's not as free as it was marketed to us. And so many people drove by because their hesitations became stop signs that prevented them from receiving the free gift that we were wanting to offer. And so Mike Turner, our director of children's ministry, he looked at me and he said, you know, it's amazing today. I wonder what the world would be like. I wonder how people would respond differently if people realized that free really meant free. I mean, what if free really meant free? You know, God was coming into the world in Jesus Christ to be freely present among us, to do immeasurably more in our hearts and our lives than all we could ever ask or imagine, offering a real relationship with us right now. And the world, when they experience Jesus holding up the free sign and saying, it's all free, the world did the same thing we oftentimes do and said, no, I don't think I want to be a part of that. Closed doors, no rooms, no thank you, Jesus. In fact, Jesus, you can stay in the place where no one else wants to be, because we don't want to offer our best. And so Jesus didn't come with some empty promise or some false advertising ploy, like we see so many times. He didn't come with a loud advertising pitch. Instead, Jesus decided, he was trying to communicate his love over and over and over all throughout the Bible. And God decided finally to come down in Jesus in a different sort of way, in the most moving way. He decided to come in the quietness of a night, in the humble place of a manger, in this little town of Bethlehem, in the form of an accessible baby. Like, it was one of these things where God was trying to do immeasurably more to communicate to us, free really means free. A baby can't do anything to reach out and to offer anything. And God condensed and squeezed his power and love into a body of a tiny infant to say, I'm accessible. You know, it's one of these things. I have a 4-month-old, and everybody, even that doesn't know us, want to grab our little baby. Like, people are drawn to babies. God knew that. God wired us that way. He created us that way. And so by God coming as a baby, God was trying to say, no strings attached. Nothing, I'm not asking any more of you. I'm not calling you to do anything differently. I'm not trying to sell you with some weird sales pitch. I'm coming for free. And free really means free. And it's free for all. You know, when Jesus later died on the cross, one of the things that's so interesting is that in the Christmas story, God was trying to show us that there's no barriers, no roadblocks, that the veil of anything that separates us from God has been torn. And when Jesus goes to the cross and raises from the grave, the moment Jesus dies on the cross, the scriptures say that the veil of the temple that separated God from the people was torn from top to bottom, meaning that it wasn't torn by human hands, it was torn by God, saying there's now no longer any separation between me and my people. Nothing separates us from experiencing, nothing will separate my people from experiencing the life and the hope and the purpose I want to offer them. You know, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. That His love is deep, His love is wide, and through the cross of Jesus Christ, He covers us, He sustains us, He holds us together, and if we put our trust in Him, He's able to save us as well. You know, while the world was pushing away God's free gift of Jesus Christ, there were also shepherds in the field who were keeping watch over their flocks by night, and the shepherds were these dirty outcasts in Jesus' society. Everyone pushed them out. In fact, everyone else in society put up these roadblocks and stop signs and said, shepherds, you can't come here. Shepherds, don't touch anything around here. Shepherds, this religious stuff, this God stuff is not for you. But did you notice who God called to be the first on the scene to experience the greatness of the of looking at God in the face? It was the shepherds. God called the shepherds. These shepherds, they spent all their time taking care of sheep. They spent all their time feeding sheep and sleeping with sheep. And everybody else looked at them like they were an animal. They were essentially a sheep because that's all that they did is play with sheep. And if someone tried to come in and some enemy or wolf tried to take away one of their sheep, that was the shepherd's job, is to defend the sheep. Everything, their whole life was about their sheep. And so everyone pushed them out because they were dirty. They didn't want to have anything to do with them. And God chose to come in Jesus Christ and invite them in. And so what God is trying to do and say to us, the big idea that God doesn't want us to miss by bringing the shepherds, is that free really means free. And it's free for everybody. The good news of great joy that the angels proclaimed about, it really is for all people. It really is for all people. It's free for everyone to receive, and it's free for everyone to share. And that's how we respond. We're invited to receive it, and we're invited to share it. No exceptions, no barriers, nothing we can do to earn it, nothing we can do to ever turn it away, to ever push God away. It doesn't matter about, it's not just for the churchy people, it's not for all the people that know the religious codes, it's for every single person. And that includes now, because what God did immeasurably more then, God is offering that for us now. And so when the shepherds saw their God face to face in that manger on the first Christmas, they left rejoicing and praising God because it was in fact good news of great joy. And it really was for all people. Free really meant free. And the good news that I want to share with you today is that free still means free. And for those who already have a relationship with Jesus, who already have God living in your life, my prayer for you is that on this Christmas you will leave here so captured by this love that we're celebrating and rejoicing in, that Jesus, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you. And that's an amazing promise because it's a reminder that as God is with us all, that God lives inside of us. And so the good news of great, that's the good news of great joy. But the way I want to invite you to respond, it's just like the shepherds. The shepherds didn't come and rejoice and say, that was great, and go on upon their business. They were called instead to share the message. They went around rejoicing and sharing with everybody about how great our Savior is. And so for those who are in Christ, as we go into this Christmas day tomorrow and even into the new year, I want to invite you to share the message of Jesus, to share about His love, and to share what God is doing in your life. Because it's the greatest message, and free really means free, and it's free for all. But if there's anybody in here who doesn't have a relationship with Christ, I want to let you know that God came for you. that God came for every single person, but God came for you. And God is able to do immeasurably more even now than all you ever asked or imagined in your life and through your life. I want to let you know that God has offered you hope, that God can take, for anyone who feels broken, God can pick up the broken pieces and can put you back together and make you whole. And I want you to know that God is still able to save. More importantly, God has a love that dynamically pursues you and me. And God wants a relationship with you. And so today may be that day for you. And so in just a little bit, I'm going to be in the back, and I'll invite you, if you'd like to make that decision to be prayed over, to receive Christ, to receive this free gift, where free really means free when you come to Him. I'd love to pray with you in the back as we sing this last song in a minute. But my prayer for all of us in this Christmas Eve night is really the same prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3. We've been focusing on verse 20, but let's move back a couple verses. And let me just read these over you. And this is my prayer for you this Christmas. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long, how high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be the glory. Merry Christmas, church. Thank you for being here. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you so much for your free gift. We thank you that you came to us in Jesus Christ, and that free really does mean free. God, we thank you that for all of us, that this is a message that where you call us to respond. We thank you that for those who are in Christ, that we're invited to share the message. And God, we thank you for those who don't have a relationship with Jesus yet, that you invite us in. And so God, as we enter this time of continued worship, as we sing praises to you, would you help us to respond to the gospel and not just look at it from a distance and not to put up another stop sign. But God, we pray that we would take new steps on this day to follow you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask that you remain seated as we sing this last song together. Again, I'm going to be in the back. If anybody would like to be prayed over, I'd love to do that with you. And let's sing praises to God today.